Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Welcome to All Things Internet. This is our first ever emergency episode. You can hear the rush in my voice because I don't have time to film this, but I'm making time to film this because this is a big deal. Emily has done a bunch of research, and I'm just going to give this to her. Go.
Solid.
This is all you.
Okay. So we're letting you know now that we often use this podcast as a safe space or an escape for our listeners. We like to joke about celebrity drama. We like to play games. We read hilarious tweets. And although we do touch on controversial subjects each episode, we generally try and stray away from the super heavy topics. Not tonight. So if you are looking for comfort or a good laugh or something that you can dissociate to, this is not the episode for that. So if you are not in the right headspace to listen to heavy topics like body policing and sexual assault and abortion and miscarriages and misogyny, we completely understand. And we will see you again next week.
We will have Monday. We will have our normal Monday episode that will be more lighthearted. But this one is serious.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Rachel and I have a huge responsibility here. We have the chance to use our platform to speak up and educate people on the atrocities that have been unfolding in the last 48 hours. And to sit back and not say anything and turn a blind eye, especially when we are a quote unquote news channel, would just be disgraceful. So that's not to say that we can do this every time, because I am too mentally ill to do this every single week. We have the time today. So I'm assuming by the title that everyone knows by now that this episode we're going to be talking about the Supreme Court, Roe versus Wade, and what that means for the future of our country. We're going to start by stating the facts, and then we're going to hop into our opinions, and then we're going to try and answer the questions that you guys submitted. You ready?
I am.
Okay. We had a lot of listeners asking what Roe versus Wade is. So we're going to back up and we're going to rewind. And before we even get into Roe versus Wade, we're going to talk about the 14th Amendment. So there's a clause within, and I'm going to try and really break this down and make it as simple as possible, because I know we have a lot of young listeners, and that's not to say that you're not smart, but I struggled to understand
this. I need it broken down myself, because
when I was...
Yes.
When I was talking to people, I was like, explain it to me like I'm five.
Because you're talking to lawyers all day, right? Like, you have a bunch of friends that are lawyers, and you
have a bunch of friends that are... I was doing my research. I have a bunch of friends that are in politics, that are in D.C., that are clerks in the courts. I have a friend that's a lawyer. Like, a lot went into this. And so I'm going to try and explain it the best I can. So there is a clause within the 14th Amendment that says... Nor shall any state deprive anybody of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. So that can be a little confusing. So due process of law means that there is a legal requirement that states respect the legal rights owed to a person. So according to our 14th Amendment, everyone has the right by their state to life, liberty, and property. So back in 1969, there was a woman who, when she was fighting this case, her name was Jane Roe. This was a fictional name to protect her identity. She was pregnant with her third child, and she filed a lawsuit against Henry Wade. So that's where you get Roe versus Wade, who was a district attorney in Texas, because in Texas, it was illegal to have an abortion unless it was for a life-saving action. And she claimed with this third pregnancy that she couldn't get an abortion, and that directly violated her right to personal privacy, which we will get into in a second. So what she did is she applied to her local courts first against the DA, and she won. And then even though she won against the DA, the Texas courts themselves ruled... not that they ruled, but the Texas courts took her to the Supreme Court. So even though she won her court case in Texas against the Texas district attorney to her right to an abortion, the state of Texas said that's not happening and took it all the way up to the Supreme Court. So that is where this original case comes from, Jane Roe versus Wade, who was the Texas district attorney. And it went all the way up to the Supreme Court. And in 1973, the Supreme Court ruled that people had a constitutional right to abortion based off of that clause in the 14th Amendment, the due process clause. Okay. So am I explaining this okay enough?
I think so. Yeah. So like we all have the right to our life and our privacy. And
right. And we have that right separate from our state government.
Yes.
So the state cannot take away our right to life, liberty, and personal privacy.
Yeah.
Okay. So then let's see. Okay, so the 14th Amendment, that due process clause, also says that Americans have the fundamental right to privacy. So it protects us against state actions that violate our privacy. So basically all of this broken down, this is all broken down into, it is our constitutional right to have privacy, meaning we can do, you know, what we want with our bodies. And back in 1960s and 1970s, this got taken all the way up to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court ruled in that favor. So the big thing you need to take away from this is the whole Violation of Privacy Act. So the entire Roe versus Wade decision that grants people the right to abortions was based off of the Supreme Court's interpretation of the right to privacy clause in the 14th Amendment. So, and that right to privacy clause protects us from states taking legal action against us or making laws that violate our rights. I feel like I'm explaining this so poorly.
Are you getting the overarching? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So, Roe versus Wade has been the law of the land since 1973, right? When it passed. And so ever since then, the conservatives and, you know, the Republicans have been going after it and trying to get it overturned. And so this was the first time. So Mississippi ended up taking an abortion case, their 15-week abortion ban. So Mississippi was trying to ban abortions after 15 weeks. They took it all the way up to the Supreme Court. And this is the first time in history, because a lot of states and a lot of people have taken abortion cases all the way up to the Supreme Court trying to overturn Roe versus Wade. But this is the first time in history that an abortion case has been able to make it all the way up to the Supreme Court, where the majority of the court supports overturning Roe versus Wade. So Roe versus Wade protects our right to an abortion. This is the first time in history, because Donald Trump appointed two very conservative court justices. This is the first time it's actually has a possibility of being overturned.
Yeah.
So that's where we're at right now. So because Trump appointed Amy Coethanger Barrett and Brett Kavanaugh, it's looking like it's going to be overturned. And if that happens, if the Supreme Court overturns Roe versus Wade, the legal right to abortions will no longer be protected by federal law.
So
by our
it'll be
country's
state
law.
To state.
Mm-hmm. So now the power, if this gets overturned, the power goes directly to the states, and each state can decide how they support abortion, if they support abortion, what the rules surrounding abortion looks like.
Okay.
So this is a little scary. All right. Yeah. So each individual state will get to decide whether it's legal or not. And if it is overturned by the Supreme Court, I think it's 23 states right now in America will likely ban abortions immediately. Mm-hmm. Because it's already written into their state law. And if it is, if the Supreme Court overturns it, then that law goes into act. So I want to make it very clear, this is not a law right now. This was a very secret draft from the Supreme Court that was leaked. So for now, abortion is still legal everywhere. So if you have appointments, if you need a consult, you are still good to go. You are legally, federally protected. Your abortion is protected for now. And the reason we know about all of this is because, there was a draft that came directly from the Supreme Court that was leaked. We don't know by who. There are theories, which maybe we'll get into a little bit later. But the Supreme Court did authenticate that this was an actual draft. So we were kind of crossing our fingers and hoping this was made up and, you know, that this was false information, but they have come forward and officially confirmed that it's true. So both the Senate, Congress, and Biden are talking about making attempts to fix this themselves, but they're being very thoughts and prayers right now instead of actually taking action. So I'm going to try and stop there with facts. Then the voting on this, on whether they want to overturn Roe versus Wade, happens in June. Okay. So we will know by June what's going on. Yes. Okay. So do you have any thoughts or questions so far?
Nope.
Okay. It's a lot. It's very confusing. Again, I'm a history major. I took a lot of political courses in college, and even I am struggling to conceptualize this and tell other people. But yeah, okay, so I figured that's the facts. You know what Roe versus Wade is. Mississippi brought the law up to the Supreme Court because of Trump's Supreme Court nominees and judges that he appointed. It has a possibility of being overturned. We will find out in June. That's basis.
But they want to overturn it.
It's going to be, allegedly, it's going to be overturned.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Because it's a 5-3 vote right now. So 5 people in favor and 3 against.
Okay. What if it's 4-4? What happens? We don't know. It's fine. We don't have to speculate.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I hadn't thought of that. Okay. But it's not going to be.
No, it won't.
Okay. And so one of the big questions we got was, how were the states banning it already? If the Supreme Court said that it was a federal right, and it's because they were finding loopholes. So even though Roe versus Wade was in place and that said federally, you are protected to an abortion, the language of the law was written so ambiguously that states were able to take that language and find loopholes within it. So, you know, it said everyone has the right to, you know, whatever it said in legal jargon, everyone has the right to an abortion. But Texas said, well, they can have their right to abortion, but if the baby already has a heartbeat, then they can't. So because it wasn't written out super specifically and like as detailed as it could be, all of these red states were finding ways around it.
Yeah.
So that's how that was already happening. So yes, what we are hoping for, the best case scenario, besides, you know, all the Supreme Court justices randomly waking up and having a soul all of a sudden, would be that the Senate codifies Roe versus Wade and basically secures that abortion will remain legal on a federal level. I don't see that happening. I would love if that would happen, but if they don't, whatever. And if you don't know what codify is, it's to make something an official policy, because laws, if you break them down, are actually just codes. If Roe versus Wade was codified in federal law, that wouldn't allow the state to decide how and when and if you can get an abortion. Okay. So that would be the best case scenario, is the government actually steps up and writes things into law that doesn't allow, even if the Supreme Court does overturn Roe versus Wade, we have other laws in place that will protect you. I don't know why they're not doing it. I mean, I have theories, but they're not moving fast enough.
Yeah.
And so that's a little scary. So yes. Any thoughts or questions so far?
Nope.
Okay.
I'm just here to support. You did all the research. I'm just here to listen. Okay. And then if I don't understand something, I'll say it.
Okay. Also, just to make it clear, we had someone ask about the Supreme Court creating a law that would secure the right to abortions. The Supreme Court cannot, well, it's so complicated. In very watered down terms, the Supreme Court does not create laws. They just protect the laws and determine if people are following the laws. Mm-hmm. So so when someone brings them a case, they're not creating a law out of that case. They're either overturning an old law or they're saying, like, no, you need to interpret the law this way.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on. Okay, a lot of people asked what inspired this change all of a sudden. I have a hot take. It is my opinion. And I'm going...
There was a wink. She winked.
So this is my hot take, all right? The reason that they want to, in my opinion, the reason that they want to ban abortion has very little to do with religion.
Really?
In my opinion, the reason that they're doing this now is because our generation, the millennials and the Gen Zs, we have an incredibly fast falling birth rate. So our economic capitalist society, who is dependent on a workforce and our birth rates, they're panicking because we are not replenishing the workforce fast enough that we can keep our capitalist economy going. So to break it down is the best way to ensure that you constantly have a workforce is to ban abortions, rule back on contraceptives, keep your public poor and desperate for money so that you will constantly have people that need to work in order to survive. Mm. We need people to be sick. We need people to buy things. We need to keep the public confused and poor because all of these factors turn the wheel of capitalism in America.
It'll make people who are desperate to work for cheap.
Exactly. Because when you have a baby at home that you can't give formula to or keep the heat on for, you're going to work as many jobs as you have to in order to provide for that child.
Yeah.
This is my hot take. All right. So it has, in my opinion, it has almost nothing to do with religion. I believe that politicians use religion as a mask to lobby and gain money and support.
Yes. I don't believe any of them are actual, like, believe fully and practice it every day, whatever religion they claim to have or be. So
no.
I've never thought that. I've always thought they just say that to get the rules and laws that they want done.
Right. Because it's not like they can stand up there and be like, we have to ban abortions to keep people poor and sick and working. But if they stand up there and say, hey, it says in the Bible that you shouldn't kill babies, or hey, it's immoral to kill babies, or, you know, if they do anything of that sort, then people are going to flood to support them.
Yeah.
So in my opinion, they're using religion as a tool to disguise their true intentions. And don't get me wrong, like, there are true religious extremists out there who really do think they're defending God's word by trying to ban abortions. But the cunning ones, the wicked ones, are just using religion as a tool. Also, another hot take, the adoption agencies have limited infants right now. And they need babies to keep the wealthy people happy and to keep their profits churning. So that's another just opinion. Also, lots and lots of money is to be made off of prisons and jails. And how do you guarantee that your prison cells are going to maintain max capacity? By keeping poor people poor. If you can't afford to live, you often turn to a life of crime. Once you get caught, you can't afford decent defense, so you're going to jail, and then the government profits directly off of your free slave labor.
Yes. So do the private prisons, and they support and give money to the lawmakers to keep their stuff going. Yep.
So in my humble opinion, few lawmakers are standing up there and actually doing this in the name of God. They're doing it so they can maintain their wealth and that we can keep our poor people poor, so that we have a
but
working
also,
economy.
Also, which is really annoying that they're doing this in the name of God, because in our country, you're not supposed to be forced to follow another religion.
Right.
So we're being forced to follow Christianity and Catholicism.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not right. That's literally against our country. But whatever. That's fine. In God we trust.
In Lizzo we trust. A lot of people asked how this info was leaked. We will never know. Either the
and
person that
I don't
leaked
want
it,
them to know. We don't want to find out, because they will probably die.
Well, that's what I was going to say. If they already know who was the person that leaked this, they're either dead or they're in hiding and they are never coming out. Now, some people are assuming that this came from one of the justices themselves. So the people who rule the Supreme Court are called the justices. There's a big theory going around right now that one of the justices was the one that released the draft of this upcoming overturn to cause outrage and to give people warning and to allow them to prepare. And then you have people on the opposite side that are saying this was a conservative justice that leaked this in order to lock in the opinions as is. So this was just like let me think of how to explain this. This was just like a preliminary, like, hey, we're just getting everyone's opinions on the draft, right? So on the draft, it says like, you know, 5-3 votes. And so there's a theory going around right now that one of the conservative justices released this so that those five couldn't take back their like preliminary vote, basically. But we do know it had to come from someone within the court, because it is impossible to leak a draft unless it comes from someone who has direct access to the materials. So whether that's a justice or a clerk or whoever, it came from someone within, but we will never know who it was.
Okay.
We also had people ask if the president has to sign off on this to make it law. Just a reminder, Supreme Court does not make laws. They will be overturning one. And no, the Supreme Court, once they make a decision, it is done. They are the supreme law of the land.
But the president, if he actually wanted to do anything with his presidency instead of just sit there, could make it a federal law that abortions are legal. Not a law, but the put it in. What was the word you used?
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. So the Senate and Congress would have to, you know, it would have to pass through both of those, and then it would go up to the president to sign off.
Yeah.
So it's really the Senate that has to kick it off, or Congress, or the House. So yeah, the president does not have any power here. So it's just
unless
kind of like a
that
big
that went up the chain to him finally.
It's two separate things. So if the Supreme Court were to overturn it, that's it. We are done. Unless someone else brings it back in another case to them and says, no, this is unconstitutional, and fights
when
again
we have,
and makes them revote.
When we have the majority Democrat which we never know is going to happen again.
Well, Biden promised he would, and for some reason
Biden
just seems
doesn't
to be
busy. Do anything ever.
No. Yeah. If you're new here, I'm assuming we both voted for Biden because it was better than the alternative.
I voted for Bernie in the primaries, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. So, yeah, it's just like a big slap in the face, because this whole country was supposed to be founded off of, like, the notion of checks and balances. Where's the check for this? Like,
no.
Yeah, so it's just, I don't know. I've come to the conclusion that we are not a democracy anymore.
No.
At least not for the common citizen.
No.
So
not at all.
Because 8 to 11 people have control of everything, and they have been since the court was established in 1789. And of course, those 9 people who are the Supreme Court justices are controlled by other people, but not the general public.
They're controlled by the wealthy.
Yep. The 1% and all of the politicians.
Yep. That's it. That's who rules. So, that's who makes all of the rules and the laws and any change.
Yep.
I mean, that doesn't mean stop fighting. That doesn't mean stop voting.
Oh, right. I was just about to say the best thing, because we had a lot of people asking what they can do, because obviously it is not in our hands as common citizens. We can't vote for the justices, but something you can do, which is your biggest right and your biggest tool and your biggest weapon, is vote. If you are over 18, it is more important now than ever to vote in local elections. I know so many people who only vote in presidential elections. That crap does not, I mean, it matters, but like not like local elections. We need to, seat by seat, make sure that these fascists are being voted out. Voting is all we have left. It is the best representation you can get is through your local elections. So do not sleep on those. Don't write those off. Go and vote in local elections.
You know who does vote in local elections? Is old people. And they are majority Republican.
Yep. Because really all we can control as citizens is our state legislation and our county legislation. So vote in local elections. So I just wanted to go over things you should and should not do. Not should, but like it's my suggestion. If you're looking. So shouldn't do's. Don't argue with people about this on the basis of religion. You will never win. You will never change someone's mind. You are screaming into a wall. Let it go. If they want to have an argument about abortion rights based off of religion, walk away. it's a useless fight.
Yeah.
What you can do is you can go, you know, protest. But if you do go protest, don't take pictures or videos, because people can be fired and arrested and doxxed and receive death threats if other people find out they're at these protests. So even if you feel safe posting a picture of yourself at a protest, you have to think about all the people in the background of your photos.
Blur their faces. If right. you want to post your photo, whatever, make sure that they can't be seen.
Right.
Do portrait mode, where it's focused on you and blurring yeah. the background. Come on now.
There you go. Another big suggestion. I talked with a friend that actually works for and with Planned Parenthood, and she said one of the worst things you can go do is counter-protest in front of clinics, because as most of us know, at Planned Parenthood's, there will be anti-abortion protesters there screaming at people, heckling, harassing women and other people walking into Planned Parenthood's. And it is often a gut reaction to go and scream back and to fight for these people. But really, it just creates a very uncomfortable and anxiety-inducing environment for the people trying to access these clinics. So if you really want to help at a clinic, go apply to be an escort. Mm-hmm. You would meet them at their car. You would shield them. You walk them right into the clinic. That is something admirable that people can do. But standing there and screaming at protesters, it just creates too much chaos. And she says that no one really appreciates it. So some suggestions of things you can do. You can stock up on Plan B off of Amazon, like Walmart. But we're encouraging you do it online. You stock up for yourself and for friends that might need it, buy that online, because we need to leave the stuff in stores for people that don't have the luxury of ordering items online, or people that need it immediately, because sometimes online orders can take a while. So do not touch the stuff in stores, get it off of Amazon. And you can find it pretty cheap.
I wouldn't have thought of that. Good.
Yeah. Also remember that Plan B has a shelf life. And Plan B only works up to 150 pounds, and Ella, which is another version of Plan B, only works up to 195 pounds. So be really careful with that. There's no effective Plan B for people over 200 pounds.
What the?
Unless you go to a Planned Parenthood and get one of the very special medical abortion pills that you can't get over the counter. So you still you'll have access to it at Planned Parenthood, but the stuff you can get online if you're over 200 pounds, it's not effective. So really watch for that when you're taking it. Donating to local abortion funds. I'll put some links in the description. I found some really great websites that you can look at and do some research on. Delete your period tracker apps. I know that sounds extreme. I get how disturbing this sounds, but oh my god, the information that came out about this today, it has been confirmed. This is not alleged. It has been confirmed by the companies themselves that they sell your period data to companies. And that data can be subpoenaed and used in a court of law. So let's just say when Roe versus Wade is overturned, and you're in a state where they say you can't have an abortion, you can't take an abortion pill, you know, yada, yada, yada. Somehow, you know, you get pregnant, you find access to an abortion pill, and someone finds out, they can take you to court, they can subpoena your period tracker, they can see you missed 40 days here. What was that 40 days missed for?
What?
And they can use that as evidence. It won't be your sealed deal. Like, that's not enough factual evidence for them to like prosecute you, but it's enough to sway a jury. So delete those apps and delete your data when you do it. How scary is that?
Wow.
Yeah. So, and then vote. We talked about voting in local elections. Something else you can do, and it is so meaningful and it's so impactful. Figure out how you can help others vote, because while your vote matters, if other people in your community do not have access to voting, you got to figure out a way to help them. So offer rides, offer assistance in obtaining government IDs, offer financial assistance, start a fund, donate to bail funds. Educate yourself on how to navigate the system, because right now, the way that our country is set up, the government is purposely suppressing blue votes. They are purposely suppressing liberal, leftist, Democrat votes. They are gerrymandering. They're shutting down polls early. They are restricting people from getting IDs so that they can't vote. They're making it hard for people to vote by mail. They're not allowing felons to vote. Oh, and if you get caught having an abortion after Roe versus Wade is overturned, guess who gets slapped with a felony and then loses their right to vote for the rest of their life?
Yeah.
So figure out a way to help others. Do a lot of local chapters, a lot of local like political activist chapters that you can find on like Instagram or Facebook or, you know, Google. A lot of them will set up ride sharing systems and they'll like where you can drive someone to the DMV to get an ID, or you can donate to Uber, like pay for someone's Uber to get to a voting poll, or pay for someone's babysitter so that they can go and vote. You know, just figure out a way that you can give back and help within the community. Oh, and if you do go protesting, tips, change the settings on your phone so that the only way to unlock it is a 6-digit passcode, because officers can legally compel you to open your phone with your Face ID or your thumb.
That's ridiculous.
Anyway, yep, write the National Lawyers Guild number on your arm in Sharpie. You can Google it. It's the first thing that pops up, as well as your emergency contact numbers. Emergency contacts number on your arm, and please make sure your emergency contact is not someone that's protesting with you. let's think about that for a second. Don't wear contacts, because if you get pepper sprayed, your contact traps it in. Cover your face when you're protesting. Wear a mask, one, because we're still in a pandemic, but it also helps shield your identity. Wear sunglasses, wear a hat, protect your identity at all costs. Park as far away from the protest as you can so they can't track your car. Cover any identifiable tattoos, and I always carry like $50 to $100 with me for bail money. And if you don't, if you want to join a protest but you don't know where to find them, I'm going to link a Planned Parenthood page down below that shows you events in your area. Or you could just show up at your local courthouse. You could follow your local advocacy organizations on social media. Instagram is usually the best. And that's it for my tips.
That was extremely informative. So this episode was explaining what happened, answering questions and tips on how to help a really terrible situation. If you have other questions, please comment them below, or you can DM us on All Things Internet Podcast on ATI, on Instagram.
Got it.
Sorry, my head's everywhere.
Same.
We can do some follow-ups at the end of Monday's episode to answer more questions. Also, I assume Emily will also just answer questions directly on the comments.
I know you have, so Rachel was very sweet, and literally she's at like a business conference meeting multi-day.
I came into my hotel room, turned my computer on, and I have to leave in 5 minutes.
I know. You were so sweet for doing this. She did not have the time, but she made the time. Would you be okay? We had a few more questions. Would you be okay if I answered those questions just individually?
Yes. Yes. Okay. All right. Cool. So I'm gonna head out. Emily, this is all you. Do what you need to do. Know that I'm sad, and I'm going to do what I can. And this is terrible. And as someone who doesn't, I will never need to go through that. I will never need to get an abortion. The fact that it will not be my right to is disgusting and baffles me.
Well, so, and gay rights are coming next. So,
yep. So that I hope I will stand with those who need it now. And I hope you will stand with me later.
Yeah.
All right. I love you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. I will see you Monday. Emily, it's all you.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm recording the rest of this on my actual camera instead of my computer because it's better quality. And I also don't know how to record an individual video on my computer because that's who I am as a person. Someone asked, if Roe versus Wade gets overturned, what could this potentially lead to? The simple answer is if they overturn Roe versus Wade, because the Supreme Court decides that abortions technically do not fall under Americans' right to privacy, which goes back to that 14th Amendment, then that means they are going to use that same logic to go after same-sex marriage and contraception and potentially interracial marriage. So they haven't outright said that once they overturn Roe versus Wade, that that's what they're coming for next. but we know that's what's happening. I don't know. I'm like filled with dread right now. So I don't know. I encourage you all, when the times come, vote, help others vote, protest if you can safely, share information on social media, have discussions with people. I know I said earlier, don't bother arguing on the basis of religion, but argue using other points. Like, I don't know. My brain is so jumbled. I feel like I did a really bad job with this episode and explaining everything, but like, I'm doing the most I can right now with where I'm at mentally. Also, before I go, I wanted to address something. In our last episode, I got a little bit of hate and criticism because in our last episode, I talked briefly about anti-Semitic, homophobic, racist, anti-vax congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. And I referred to her as an idiot. I think my a good quote would be that I said, you know, she's extremely smart at what she does, but she's an idiot because of her beliefs. And when I was scanning our comments section a little later, I noticed a few people reprimanded me for saying that. And they said things like, I think you need to be careful calling people idiots because of their beliefs. And someone else said, I feel the problem with the world right now is if we don't agree with each other, we're stupid. That I think it's okay for everybody to have their own opinions and their own beliefs, and you can still think that they are an intelligent or good person. Let me break it down for you. We are allowed to politely disagree on things like whether pineapple belongs on pizza or who we think is going to win the Super Bowl. You know what we're not going to politely agree to disagree on? Human rights. People, especially those who are not directly negatively affected by politics, love to shout at us radical, in quotes, if you're only listening to the podcast, radical leftists, that we should be more open-minded and more tolerant of others' views, that we need to stop dividing this country, that we need to stop getting so worked up and cutting people out and being bullies. But when the political views you are asking us to politely turn a blind eye to are directly leading to marginalized people's deaths and the spread of racism and poverty and suicide rates and violence, you're wrong. We are in a day and age when politics literally is life and death for some people. I'm just going to say that again. Politics in this country leads to people dying. Simple as that. So don't sit there and tell me to stop creating a divide and to start respecting other people's opinions, because I never will when it comes to being on the wrong side of politics and the wrong side of history. You get absolutely zero courtesy out of me. Once I see you are a dangerous person, you have lost all respect and the privilege of my kindness. This isn't about a little difference in opinions. This is about people's actual lives and pushing for systemic change and actively and viciously fighting against those who continue to oppress. So you know what? I'm gonna say it again. If you voted for Trump, if you refuse to speak up and use your privilege to defend those who can't, if you like to see the good in both sides, if you are defending politicians who are racist and sexist and homophobic predators who want nothing more than to watch the demise of everyone who isn't white and straight and cis and able-bodied, God-loving Americans, then you are wrong. And you are directly contributing to the downfall of this country. So shame on you. Be better. I will not apologize for calling a politician who actively works to destroy marginalized communities. I will not apologize for calling her an idiot, because that's exactly what she is. I know there is a small amount of people that are angry that ever since I joined this podcast, I have turned it into a more activist type of space. I read the comments. I read every single comment, and I see that people week after week are talking about how they miss how happy and carefree this podcast used to be. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry you feel that way. I'm sorry if me talking about people's basic human rights and about controversial topics that are causing people direct harm is uncomfortable for you and that you don't enjoy it. But Rachel brought me onto this podcast because I have a fire for this kind of stuff, and I have a zest and a need to constantly talk about it and a need to educate people and a need to, I don't even know, just like attempt as much as I can to make this world a better place. And if that makes you uncomfortable, I'm sorry. But that is the way this podcast is going. We will continue to talk about internet news, and we will continue to talk about internet drama and influencers and celebrities. But when something controversial comes up, we're not going to stray away from it because it's not light and happy. People are dying, and people are sitting in cages, and people are being kicked out of their homes, and people are being fired from their jobs, and people are starving to death, and people are being thrown into jail based off of the politics of this country and who people vote for. I cannot ignore it, and I cannot let it pass by without saying something. So I'm sorry if my passion for human rights and politics bothers you. I'm sorry I changed the vibe of this podcast. But I am not sorry for being an activist and a feminist and someone who actually gives a crap about what happens to other citizens. I'm not sorry for that. I'm going to keep pushing that we keep touching on, you know, slightly uncomfortable subjects, and that we give our opinions and that we educate our listeners. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to back down because it makes a few people uncomfortable. Because if it makes you uncomfortable that I'm talking about these things in a safe way, in a safe, family-friendly manner on a podcast, how do you think it makes the people feel that are affected by the things I'm talking about? Think about them. Like, you're uncomfortable hearing about it. Think about what they have to go through and experience. So I'm going to continue talking about it, and I'm going to continue pushing. And I'm sorry if this is not the space for you anymore, or if, you know, occasionally on the podcast you feel uncomfortable because of how passionate I get. But that's the world that we live in now. You either use your privilege for good and you're passionate and you advocate and you educate, or you sit by and allow the bad to take over. Anyway, I'm really hoping I was able to explain things and break things down enough for you to get a little bit of a better understanding. I'm hoping that you're able to take some of those tips that I gave you and apply them. Like I said, I'm gonna put some links in the description. You know, just kind of next step, or if you want to help, or if you have questions, I'll try and put links that you guys can check out. And yeah, I'm sorry Rachel couldn't be here for longer, but this is what happens when you film an emergency episode. She had to do a lot of juggling and like shifting things around in order to join us for the time that she did. So thank you, Rachel, for doing that. Thanks for joining. I know this was a really heavy and hard episode to listen to, but it's important. It's important you listen and educate yourself and have discussions, because this is happening, and like, this is very real, and this affects everyone despite what some people may think. So hopefully this helped, and yeah, I'm sorry this is happening. Try and do something nice for yourself. Talk to people, talk to friends, you know, donate if you can, protest if you can, fight the good fight. All right, that's it. We will see you on Monday for a regularly scheduled episode, where we'll go back to, you know, talking about celebrity news and drama, with, I'm sure, a little bit more of this sprinkled in. So thanks for joining. And thanks for supporting me taking over the last half as a solo podcaster. I appreciate you guys and I love you guys. Okay, stay safe.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.